Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Mike Tucker. Today, we're talking about diversity in the church.
So, Mike, how did you manage that exactly? Did you divide the congregation in percentages and chose leaders, or how did you do that?
No, we wanted to make sure that everyone in our congregation, including the children, could look at the platform and look at their leaders and see someone that they could identify with, someone who looked like them. And so that meant that we tried to choose leaders, especially among the pastoral staff, who would represent a diversity of race. And we had women and men, as well as people who were African-American, people who were Hispanic, you name it, in order to make sure that everyone within our congregation, we wanted to send the message that this was a church of inclusion, that everyone was welcome. And we did that not just by leadership, but by the way we treated people. We were intentional about making sure that everyone from every background felt comfortable in our church.
But really, doesn't that sound like a quota that you're filling? Like, you know, for example, I am very good for some of universities when they hire me because they fill two quotas. They fill the Hispanic quota and the woman quota in their staff.
You are a very valuable commodity, are you not?
Hopefully for other reasons than simply my gender and race. But really, doesn't it sound like, okay, maybe you have many qualified applicants, but hey, we need a Hispanic or we need this or that.
I think you can talk about quotas as something as forced on you. But this was not something that was forced on us. This was something we were intentional about. We wanted to make sure that the body of Christ was representative of our community, and our community is diverse. And we wanted to make sure that we looked like the community and that the community knew they were welcome. It was something that we chose to do. It was not a quota. And even then, we wouldn't choose somebody simply because they were a race.
Correct.
We wanted to make sure that
qualified.
This was a person who was qualified, but
absolutely,
who also happened to represent our community well.
This is a very modern, interesting, and needed topic in the churches today, even in our neighborhoods as a whole. You know, I also had a church in an Asian neighborhood, and we had about 25 different nations represented. And of course, I was a senior pastor, and I have an accent, and I'm Hispanic. And at one point, I think we came to a very good place in which we were in unity because we were worshiping together and we valued each other. But we could also celebrate the diversity in a good way without being racist. I mean, how do you not erase the differences that make us so interesting because we are all so different?
Well, you know, that is a struggle that the church faces today because one study that was done recently, I saw an article that said that most churches in North America are very much one race. There's very little diversity among most congregations. And so if you're a part of a congregation that has a diversity of race, then you are very unique in that. And I think that the way that we maintain our purpose is we keep the vision ever before us. And the vision is the gospel. We put on our bulletin, we are a community of love, acceptance, forgiveness, which we think were tenets of the gospel. And then we celebrated our diversity by having weekends where we would do nothing but celebrate the fact that we come from different parts of the world.
We're all here all together
celebrating. But we have one purpose, and that is Jesus Christ and the gospel.
You know, Luke had already started with this topic in his gospel. Luke is a very diversity-oriented author. He wanted, more than any other gospel writer, actually, to highlight the fact that Jesus had come for all. And he wrote all his gospel telling the story of a man and a woman, a man and a woman, and a Jew and an outcast, a Jew and an outcast, at least an outcast in the Jews' eyes.
In the Jewish eyes.
So he has done this already in the gospel. And now we meet the first time in this first century church where they're actually having to deal with diversity in their own little community here.
It's encouraging to me to see that this happened at the beginning, at the start. It's not just something that happens in the congregations today. But let's take a look here at Acts chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food.
Okay, let's explain a few of the terminology.
Yes.
Okay. The first thing we're having here is that we talked about the fact that the whole community was giving of their own, so no one will be in need. And of course, a big group of people that was in need was the widows, right?
Right.
So here we have a group of people. They're all Christians in this verse.
And they're all Jews.
And they're all Jews. Mm-hmm. But there's two kinds of Jews. The Hebrew Jews, which are the ones that were mainly native from Jerusalem and that spoke mainly the Hebrew.
Yes, and they were very acculturated as far as the Hebrew
Jewish,
religion and Jewishness is concerned.
And then we have the other Jews that are called the Hellenistic Jews, or we could also call them the Greek Jews, which were part of the diaspora. You know, the diaspora was when they all spread around. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Septuagint was the translation of the Old Testament that was done about 200 years before Christ, because a lot of the Jews no longer spoke Hebrew because they were dispersed.
They had been dispersed through various occupations from foreign nations, and so now they lived outside of Israel.
We have people in Egypt, in Alexandria, in Egypt. We have in other places, and they don't speak the same language, and they don't really have the same customs.
Yeah, the culture was different. It was quite different, and they felt very much apart from other Jews. And so even if they were living in Jerusalem at this time, culturally, they were quite different from the Jews who had grown up in Palestine.
And so from the Hellenistic Jews, they said, we think that you're not giving the Hellenistic Jews widows as much food as you're giving the Hebrew Jews widows. Mm-hmm. And this is the first controversy on diversity that we find in the first century church.
And their solution to it was really quite unique. It says, verse 2, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God or to in order to serve tables.
That's very important, because the first thing they did, which having been a senior pastor, I know that sometimes we become firemen and firewomen, and all we do is put fires out when there's issues. And they said, you know, we need to devote ourselves to the study of the word. So the solution for this has to be different than us simply serving everybody, because you can't do everything.
They can't.
Okay, let's go on.
It says, therefore, brethren, select among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Okay,
so in other words, they're saying, you handle this, and we'll do what God has called us to do, but let's find people who God is calling to do this particular work.
Yeah, they're not in denial.
No.
I mean, I'm not talking about a river in Egypt, but they're also not in denial about the problems, because a lot of churches say, you know, we're not going to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about diversity. You're taken care of. Just don't speak anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No, they say, no. Let's find new leaders. We need to, obviously, we're growing in numbers. We need to deal with this. And they find seven people. Look at the first skill that is needed, not the race, but they must be of good reputation, in whom the full of the Spirit and wisdom resides.
Right.
So like you were saying, your staff, the way you chose your staff.
We wanted to make sure that these were godly people who had a value for the gospel, filled with the Holy Spirit, but then we also wanted to make sure that they were representative of the community we wanted to serve.
And this is exactly what they do. Verse 5, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose seven people. And here we have the names, and can you believe it? All seven of them have Hellenistic backgrounds.
Hellenistic backgrounds. So in other words, the complaint came from the Hellenistic Jews. They said, we're going to fix this so that there can be no question about it whatsoever.
So here you have Hellenistic leaders.
That's right. The people in charge of the food and the disbursements are Hellenistic.
It's very interesting, so that you don't think that the Hebrew Jews are keeping food away from the widows. So we have then here the seven names. You want to read them?
Okay, let's see. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Perinus, Nicholas, a proselyte from in Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands upon them.
So this is where we have this laying hands upon elders, when we name elders in the church. And
elders,
many
deacons, leaders, lay leaders in the congregation.
Yeah, and many denominations have this custom of laying hands and saying, okay, from now on, you are appointed as a leader in the church. This is not just to wait on tables, but you will find immediately, verse 8, for example, Stephen, one of the seven, was full of grace and power and was performing wonders and signs among the people
and preaching
himself.
And a real minister of the gospel himself. Again, this was not the early church filling a quota. This was the early church saying, we are inclusive. We want to make sure we're going to to go above and beyond the call of duty to make sure we're inclusive. We're going to make sure that the people who are distributing these goods, that there's no question about them. These are Hellenistic Jews.
That's right. You know, this is something that has started way back in Genesis. When God called Abraham to start, per se, the family of God on the earth, he made a covenant with him. He said, you will be a great nation, which of course became the Jewish nation, and I will bless you, et cetera, et cetera. But on verse 3 at the end, in chapter 12 of Genesis, part of the covenant says, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Mm-hmm. It was not just for the Jews. You know, it was not just for men. It was not just for a particular race. The blessings of the gospel are for everyone. And we can never, ever, ever forget that. Whether you're in church, in a neighborhood, in your family, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. And God has sent his son to die for every single one of us.
The gospel does not know race, does not know gender, does not know age, nationality. The gospel is for everyone. And people who accept the gospel must view others in that way. It doesn't mean that we lose our individuality.
No, we actually celebrate it.
We celebrate that, mm-hmm. The fact that we come from different places with different backgrounds, but we have one common cause, and that is the cause of Jesus Christ and his gospel.
Isn't this what heaven will be all about? You know, not only are we going to be with Jesus, but we're going to be worshiping with people from all over the world, you know, male, female, white, black, you know, Hispanic with accent like
yes,
me.
Yes, even with accents like you.
Yeah, we are all going to be together worshiping for eternity.
That is a day I'm looking forward to. The gospel is for everyone. It is inclusive of all. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we too are to be inclusive.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.